Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, October 4th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week. Got a list of topics for today's episode, and then we'll jump right into it. So on this edition of the Weekender, we have Impact Wrestling results. We have Ring of Honor results for their Pure Title Tournament. We have results for the G1 Climax, nights 5 through 8. We have NXT UK results. That also includes the beginning of the Heritage Cup Tournament. We have UWN Primetime Live results, a Being the Elite recap of the latest episode titled Sour Patch Kids. I'm going to give you some quick NXT TakeOver predictions because that is tonight. NXT TakeOver 31 is tonight as of the night of this recording. And I also have a recommended show for you on independentwrestling.tv, actually two shows. So I'm going to start with that. As always, my recommended shows this week on independentwrestling.tv are Black Label Pro Wrestling's TurboGrafx-16 Tournament, Part 1 and Part 2. So both of these shows happened last night and yesterday afternoon. So Part 1 and Part 2 both took place yesterday, Saturday, October 3rd, from Crown Point, Indiana. Once again, the company is called Black Label Pro, and the show is called TurboGrafx-16 Tournament. These are the matches to expect. Now, as far as the tournament matches are concerned, I'll tell you everything from part one, and then for part two, I'll skip over the tournament matches so there's no spoilers in case you're planning on watching both of these back to back. So as far as the first show went, the first match we had was a Black Label Pro Championship match between Jake Something, the champion, defending against Calvin Tankman. This is a feud that's been brewing for a while now, because Tankman actually won the title from Eric Stevens a few weeks ago, and Jake Something used basically the equivalent of a Money in the Bank briefcase to beat Tankman right after he had won the belt. So we have a big match here between Something and Tankman. That was non-tournament, of course. Then as far as the tournament matches, we had Eric Stevens versus AJ Gray, Ethan Page versus Dan the Wrestler. Like how they're calling him Dan the Wrestler now. That's Dan the Dad, a.k.a. Danny Adams, a.k.a. the Millennial Danny Adams. Ethan Page basically owns the copyright in story and storyline. He owns the copyright to Dan the Dad. So now Dan is using Dan the Wrestler. They've been feuding for a little while now. We also had Blake Christian versus Chris Bay in an opening round match. A very good professional wrestler versus Isaias Velasquez. So those were all tournament matches there. In a non-tournament tag team match, we had Top Flight, the team of Airwolf and Angel Dorado, taking on Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greeny and Kevin Koo. Then the rest of these were all opening round tournament matches. We have Filthy Tom Lawler versus Mike Bennett, Christian Casanova versus ACH, Brian Myers versus Effie, and for the BLP Midwest Championship, as well as to advance to the second round. So the title on the line during this tournament too, Kylie Rae takes on Alex Shelley. So super stacked tournament here. I mean, it would take me the next 3 hours to go over everybody that I would want to highlight over this, but you hear me talk about most of these people on a weekly basis here on the Weekender, so I won't, deep dive into all this. I've already kind of gone over Something in Tankman and the feud that they've been having, which I think has been great so far. And I think Calvin Tankman especially has like such serious upside. I mean, he's going to be a major star in pro wrestling as long as he can stay healthy. He's got the size, the charisma, the look. He can do everything in the ring. I mean, really great. And Jake Something is getting huge opportunities in Impact Wrestling currently as Cousin Jake. So we see him on TV often. I mean, so much good stuff here. Literally every person on this show is a top-level talent. I mean, we had Brian Myers and Effie. I don't know if I even mentioned that just a second ago. I might have skipped over that. I mean, Brian Myers was a part of this show, formerly from the WWE. Alex Shelley was a part of the show, current Impact Tag Team Champion. We had Ethan Page, a big part of Impact Wrestling right now. The North, probably my favorite tag team, not only my favorite tag team in Impact Wrestling, probably my favorite tag team in the whole world right now. Love Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, and I love Ethan Page as a singles wrestler too. One match that I would want to heavily point out is Blake Christian versus Chris Bay, because I think they're two of the best overall workers in the business, but like more specifically on like the high flying, kind of next generation, next level type stuff. Blake Christian and Chris Bay are leading that charge. They are two of the best in the world. I mean, I really, really enjoy their work. Chris Bay, of course, is probably going to be a bit more well known because of his work in Impact Wrestling, former X Division champion. Blake Christian, I'd compare him. He's very similar in work, like in ring work, to someone like Ben Carter, who's been getting a lot of praise and a lot of eyes on him through his recent work in AEW. I think Blake Christian does a lot of similar things in a good way. I'm not like comparing the two and saying like they're copying each other or anything like that. But what I am saying is Blake Christian is somebody who you need to keep your eyes on because he's super talented. Isaias Velasquez, another guy that I've been watching for a while, but continues to improve and get better and better. And somebody that, I mean, I see him popping up all over the place now. So big shout out to Velasquez. I mean, we had a very good professional wrestler on the show. We had Mike Bennett making one of his first appearances since leaving the WWE. He had that UWN match for the NWA title against Nick Aldis not too long ago. So it's good seeing Mike Bennett getting back out there. And of course, he took on Filthy Tom Lawler, who's one of my favorites. A very unique individual, but who can legitimately kick most people's asses that he will ever encounter, considering, you know, who he is and where he came from with his UFC run and everything. ACH, obviously, you know, he was Jordan Miles in the WWE slash NXT. That didn't work out for some pretty crazy reasons, but, you know, it's great to see ACH back on the indies and doing his thing and having great matches. So there's just so much good stuff here. I would just highly recommend checking out this show. That was night one. As far as night two, so what they do is they take all the winners from I keep saying night one, part one. They keep taking all the winners from part one because once again, both these shows happen on the same day. You have the winners going into fatal four-way matches for the semis. So four of the winners and then four of the winners. Whoever wins those two goes on to the finals. So that's how this show opens, is two fatal four-way matches to determine who is going to wrestle for the TurboGrafx-16 finals at the end of the show. We also had Deonna Purrazzo versus Billy Starks. These are all non-tournament, by the way. Deonna Purrazzo versus Billy Starks. Boomer Hatfield and Molly McCoy versus Big Beef and Mickey Knuckles. Travis Titan versus EC3. Warhorse defending the Independent Wrestling Championship against Joshua Bishop, who had Wes Barkley in his corner. Trey Lamar versus Kevin Blackwood. The tag team titles for BLP were on the line. The Besties in the World, Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett, took on To Infinity and Beyond, the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney. Megabyte Ronnie versus Aaron Williams versus Alex Crawley versus Aliyah Black versus Graham Bell versus a very good professional wrestler happened in a scramble. And then, of course, we had the tournament finals for TurboGrafx-16, which I will not spoil because I want you to check this out. I don't want to tell you who was in the finals and who won. So, some more things I'll point out here. EC3, that's a big one. I mean, it's great to see him as a part of the company. He looks shredded. I mean, he's always looked shredded, but he's looking like he's in the best shape of his life right now. We're really interested to see the future for EC3 because I hope he keeps popping up on various indies along with his stint in Impact Wrestling, and I'd just love to see him doing more independent work. I actually got to meet him in person when he was doing an indie run years back, and he's a super cool guy. I'm really a big fan of EC3, and I think he got a really bad shake in the WWE. Billy Starks versus Deonna Purrazzo. This is a real showing of like the current like Deonna Purrazzo, Impact Wrestling Women's Champion. She is, I mean, she's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world, and she's been putting on really good matches in Impact, especially with Jordynne Grace. And Billy Starks is the future. She's like 15 or 16 years old, like legit, or at least that's what they say. I it's hard for me to tell. I mean, she looks it. So just one of these things, like Billy Starks is incredibly talented, especially if she is in fact like 16 years old or 17 years old or whatever. They always refer to her as a teenager and like keep referring to the fact that she isn't even 18 yet when she wrestles. And the reason I bring all this up is because she wrestles like somebody who's much more seasoned, somebody who's been around much longer. She's really, really good for her age, especially. But I mean, she's good in general, but especially for her age. Like, by the time she's like 20, 21, 22, she's gonna be like the best female wrestler in the world, and one of probably the best wrestlers, period, in the world by then. If she sticks with it, and she has good people around her. I mean, shout out to Mouse, my boy Robert Bellamy. I mean, there's who, by the way, is her father. the best, in my opinion, the best photographer in the pro wrestling business. Her dad is, Billy Starks' dad is Mouse, for those of you who don't know. And yeah, Billy, I have so much, there's so much potential there for her. Really big fan. And of course, her and Deonna Purrazzo, that's just so great for both. Like, Deonna is able to teach Billy. Billy's able to learn from Deonna. And they both pulled off a really, really good match, in my opinion. And speaking of good matches, my favorite match of the entire part one and part two was Warhorse taking on Josh Bishop for the IWTV Championship. Just incredible match. Warhorse, great champion. Joshua Bishop, great challenger. Bishop, I talk about often because he's going to be a massive pro wrestling star. He has the size, the look. He's a little bit off, which is good. Like, he's a little crazy. Like, he'll jump off stuff. He'll do weapons. He'll do anything. But he's also still only like 20, 21 years old, something like that. I interviewed him when he was like five matches into his career years ago. I mean, this guy is, he still has so much untapped potential, but he's already so good. Like, he's a guy that I'm so looking forward to what happens to him in the future. And Warhorse, the same thing, except Warhorse is just a little bit closer. Obviously, we've seen Warhorse in AEW, took on Cody for the TNT title a couple months ago, and Warhorse has a lot of eyes on him. I'd imagine he'll be signed by either Impact, NXT, or AEW full-time sometime in the very near future. So Warhorse and Josh Bishop, two guys that really make me happy to be a fan of independent wrestling right now. Huge fan of both guys. Besties in the World, one of the best tag teams, in my opinion, in the world, legitimately, not just a gimmick. Trey Lamar and Kevin Blackwood, incredible match between those two. The future of wrestling to those two guys. I mean, just super, super good stuff. So, once again, my recommended shows this week are Black Label Pro Wrestling's TurboGrafx 16 Tournament. Part 1 and Part 2 are both available right now on IWTV. Moving on, we have Impact Wrestling Results. So, started off with Team XXL taking on the Rascals. The Rascals get the win by hitting the final flash for the 1-2-3. After that, we get Brian Myers taking on Tommy Dreamer. Brian Myers getting the win. This whole feud is strange because, like, it's based around, like, respect. And, you know, I get that Brian Myers, I should say, his new gimmick is, you know, he's the most professional wrestler, but in reality, he's like a giant jerk. It's kind of a weird contrast because he's such like a baby face on YouTube with himself and Broski doing the Major Figure Pod and all that stuff. He's like such a likable guy. It's kind of strange seeing him as a heel in AEW or in Impact Wrestling. But as far as this match went, Myers got the win with a lariat. He called it the something from Samford or something like that. Like, the move, I can't remember the name of the move off the top of my head, but it had to do with the WWE. So, got the win over Tommy Dreamer with a lariat. We had an X Division Championship match where Rohit Raju retained the title, but he lost the match. So, he was wrestling Willie Mack, who, in my opinion, is one of the best wrestlers in the world, and definitely somebody who Impact Wrestling should be pushing to the moon as much as possible. But Rohit Raju winds up losing by countout and retains the championship, but Willie Mack gets the win. The good thing here is that it's going to definitely lead to more matches between the two. I think both guys are really talented. I'm a big fan of Rohit Raju, especially knowing him as Hakeem Zayn on the indie scene before his run in Impact. So I really like what I'm seeing here with him as champion, but if it's up to me, I'm going with Willie Mack. He's held the title before, but if they're not going to put him in the world title mix right away, he needs something to do that's important, and I think keeping him in the X Division rankings is probably smart for the time being, but there's a lot they can do with him at the heavyweight, in the heavyweight title scene, especially with Rich Swann being involved with Eric Young in the link between Willie Mack and Rich Swann and all that, so there's a lot they can do there. We wind up getting some stuff between Sami Callihan and Ken Shamrock backstage. It's interesting because I know that Sami Callihan was feuding with Rob Van Dam, and reportedly Rob Van Dam has left Impact Wrestling. His contract is up and he's not re-signing. So I'm interested to see where they go with all of that. What else do we have? We had Tennille Dashwood taking on Jordan Grace. Dashwood was with Caleb on the outside. No, Dashwood actually gets the win. It was a spotlight kick after an inside cradle to get the 1-2-3. It's like, I'm okay with it because it's Dashwood, but at the same time, it's like, I talked about it a lot last week, and I'll talk about it again now just a little bit. Like, Jordan Grace is so good. She's so unique. She's so great in the ring. She's got a great look about her. Just the overall package checks every box you would want, and I think a company like AEW, for instance, would just be over the moon excited to have someone like her on their roster. And I think she could carry that women's division to a degree over there in AEW. She could do the same with NXT or anywhere that she wrestles, the independents, anywhere. She's super talented. And I think Tennille Dashwood's talented as well. But you also never really know what you're getting out of Tennille. Like, she kind of comes and goes from companies often. And I would be a little skeptical to, I'm just going to be honest, I'd be a little skeptical to invest too much into her. I'm not saying she's not worth investing into, but I if it was up to me, I would be investing into Jordan Grace over Tennille Dashwood if I'm Impact Wrestling. Now, I don't know how long they have Jordan. I don't know if it's something where she's not going to be around much longer and she's going to help put over the future of that division and stuff. That might be something. But if they have both of them for the long term, I'm going with Jordan Grace 10 out of 10 times over Tennille Dashwood if it's me personally. After that, we had Heath Slater and Rhino defeating Reno Scum. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention, this was Victory Road. There was an Impact before this, but I'm reading the Victory Road results. I forgot to mention that at the top. I apologize. I forgot that there was actually two shows this week. The first one being on Twitch on Tuesday. This was the one from Saturday on Fight TV. So sorry that I didn't clarify that right at the top. But we had Heath Slater and Rhino defeating Reno Scum. Heath Slater was, basically this is his first real Impact Wrestling match. I keep calling him Heath Slater. He's just known as Heath, technically. So, I mean, more good stuff. I mean, it's good to see Heath and Rhino get the win. And they celebrated after the match because Scott D'Amore invites Heath to talk to him on Tuesday to work out a contract. So we'll be seeing that on Impact this upcoming week. So, I will say, I think the Heath Slater, I keep calling him Heath Slater, the Heath promos about him joining Impact, like campaigning to join Impact, I think have been tremendous. I think they've been really, really funny and really well produced. So, I'm really happy to see what they're doing with, they're doing something new with Heath, but something's got to give, right? Like, it's not just going to be sunshine and rainbows and Heath and Rhino as a tag team going forward. Something's going to happen. Maybe they'll team for a short time. But someone's turning on someone, and some. But I have to believe they're not going to just run with this WWE made tag team that kind of ran its course, you know, years ago. I just don't see them doing that at Impact. I mean, they might, but I feel like some sort of big swerve has got to happen somewhere soon. But I do like what I'm seeing as of right now, though. To be totally fair. After that, we had Trey Miguel defeating Moose, got the win. So he basically pins Moose because EC3's logo shows up on the big screen and it distracts Moose. And they're still building towards Moose versus EC3. So we'll see how that goes. EC3 actually wound up attacking Moose from behind in the back while Moose was looking for him after the match. So we'll see what happens on Tuesday going forward with that. After that, we had Josh Alexander defeat Alex Shelley, Ace Austin, and Carl Anderson. Got the win with a double underhook face buster, and I love this. Not only was this a great match, it's cool because it's, you know, all these, it's one member from all these different tag teams that are trying to become champions. And, well, not trying to become champions. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are champions, and Alex Shelley was in the match. But you know what I mean. The rest of these are basically the four teams that are in contention right now for those titles, including the champions. So I love seeing Josh Alexander get the win here. Although, you know, I think Ace Austin needs to be way more protected than he has been. He's very valuable for their future, and I am kind of baffled by some of the booking decisions lately with him. But I'm a huge fan of Josh Alexander, so I'm totally fine with him getting this win. I think he should be more heavily spotlighted. I love him as a tag team wrestler with Ethan Page. I think that's where he actually fits best at the moment. But Josh Alexander as a singles wrestler is so good. I've been watching his stuff on the indies for a while as a singles, and I'm really happy with what I've seen. And then you have Carl Anderson able to do his thing, who's also a great singles wrestler, as we've seen from his runs in New Japan, you know, years ago. And, you know, Alex Shelley, of course, we all know how good he is as a singles wrestler and a tag team wrestler. So all around, I thought this whole thing was really, really good. The match was good. I liked the result. Love everything about this. We had a Knockouts Championship match where Deonna Purrazzo retained the title over Kimberly. She had Kimberly in her corner, and she defeated Susie, who had Kylie Rae in her corner. Finish came with the Fujiwara armbar, and it wound up being a verbal submission versus a tap. So, more good stuff from Deonna. I talked about her a little bit with her match with Billy Starks yesterday from BLP. And I love seeing Deonna doing some stuff on the indies, by the way. They've really established her quickly in Impact as the most dominant woman on the roster. And I think that's smart to do, but I do want to see her running back more Jordynne Grace, because I really like their matches. And I'm not really one for doing the same thing over and over and over again. So I like them pivoting with Deonna Purrazzo and Kylie Rae for the short term. But I do want to revisit Jordynne Grace and Deonna sometime soon, because I think they match up really well against each other. But nonetheless, Deonna Purrazzo with another win, which is totally understandable. And in the main event, Eric Young retained the Impact World Championship. He defeated former champion Eddie Edwards. He hit him with a pile driver and then put him in an ankle lock. Eddie was forced to tap out. And this just continues to feed into the storyline, because he's been attacking Eddie Edwards' leg and knee and ankle and all that stuff. And he did the same to Rich Swann. That's kind of been Eric Young's thing lately, is attacking the legs. And I think this all made sense storyline-wise. It was a good match. It was a smart finish. And after the match, Rich Swann came out and attacked Eric Young. So this all makes sense. It's all progressing, all the stories. We're still getting Rich Swann versus Eric Young for the championship, which has been built really, really well, in my opinion. So all good stuff. I think Victory Road was a home run. Good matches. I don't agree with every single decision, but that's really, really rare that I'm going to on any show. And I think what we got was a good show on Saturday, So yeah, good stuff from Impact Wrestling. I figured there was no need to go over the results for the Tuesday show, because the Victory Road show happened after it. So it's just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like talking about Impact from Tuesday doesn't really make sense, because when I went over Victory Road, you're going to find out where everything wound up anyways with all that stuff. So that's the reason I did Victory Road versus just the Twitch show. So, and I say Twitch, I know it's available on like Access TV or whatever too, but I watch it on Twitch. So more good stuff from Impact Wrestling. They've been putting on consistently good shows lately. So, you know, two thumbs up, Impact. Moving on to some more two thumbs up stuff. We have their ROH Pure Tournament for the Pure Title Tournament. That's continuing on. We have two more results for you since last week. In Block A, Fred Yehi defeated Silas Young. Got him with a with a roll-up. And I love this, because this, I was correct here. I predicted Fred Yehi for the big upset win in the first round over Silas Young, and we got it. I like Silas a lot, though. He doesn't get enough credit. The guy can move around like a cruiserweight, but like doesn't look like it at all, and very rarely like does that. But sometimes he does, and there's certain things he does that I think he does really well. He's very unique. I've been a fan of Silas Young for a long time now. I feel like he's never really like achieved his potential, even though he's kind of been set up for success multiple times. For whatever reason, it hasn't like, he's never really transcended, but I feel like he totally has the talent to and the look to and everything. So, but that all being said, I think Fred Yeha was the correct choice here. I think that Fred, to a T, matches up for what you want in this tournament. He's just such a great pure wrestler in a pure tournament. It makes so much sense for Fred Yehi to advance, so I love that. Then Josh Woods defeated Kenny King. It came down to a judge's decision after a 15-minute time limit draw. Josh Woods wound up getting the split decision win, so Kenny King is eliminated. I was wrong with this one, but like I guess I came as close as you could to being right, because it, once again, split decision, but I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with Josh Woods. I don't think that Kenny King or Josh Woods is winning this tournament. So I think the result, it's just one of those things. Like, basically, he's going to be wrestling. So let me go over where we're at right now. That'll be the easiest thing to do. So Josh Woods with the win. Good stuff. As far as Block A goes, we know the next round we have Finley versus Jay Lethal, and we now know that we have Fred Yehi versus either the winner of, I shouldn't say either, he's going to be wrestling the winner of Williams and Taylor. So I took Taylor there, so we'll see. Or sorry, I took Williams there, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, I apologize. I took Hot Sauce there. So I hope that that's what happens. I would love to see Freddie Yehi versus Hot Sauce Tracy Williams in the next round. I think that would be one of the best matches of the entire tournament. And I said that during my prediction show. I did bracketology here on the weekend or a few weeks ago. And I called that out. I said if Yehi and Hot Sauce wrestle each other, then it could be the sleeper best match of the entire tournament. And I hope that's what we wind up getting. But Williams and Taylor have not wrestled yet. And then over on Block B, we know for sure we're going to be getting Jonathan Gresham versus Matt Sydal, which I think is a great matchup. And then we have Josh Woods taking on the winner of Tony Deppen and PJ Black. I just, once again, for the record, I've chosen Tony Deppen to get the upset over PJ Black there, similar to Freddie Yehi over on Block A. And I believe I even took Deppen to win the next match. I think he's going to defeat Josh Woods if he gets to Josh Woods. So really great stuff. I mean, great matches, great tournament. I'll keep y'all updated on all this stuff week after week right here on the Weekender. And that's the same with the New Japan G1 Climax. I'm going to give you the results right now for a few nights worth. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 nights worth of results. So I'm going to give these to you right now. We had Block A. This was on the 27th. This was night 5. Tai Chi defeated, well, in a non-tournament match, I'll say that first. Gabriel Kidd defeated Yota Tsuji. We had Tai Chi defeat, and this is all tournament matches from here on out. We had Tai Chi defeating Takahashi, Minoru Suzuki defeating Jeff Cobb, Kota Ibushi defeated Tomohiro Ishii, Tagachi defeated Will Ospreay, and Jay White defeated Okada. Really good stuff. I mean, Block A is just so stacked with talent. I'm fine with all these results. Like, I think probably my least favorite wrestler in all of Block A is Yujiro Takahashi. So, like, I'm totally fine with Tai Chi getting that win. Love Minoru Suzuki, so I'm great with him getting that win over Jeff Cobb. Even though I love Jeff Cobb, I like Suzuki more. Ibushi over Ishii. This is just great stuff. These two are always going to have entertaining matches. Ishii is my favorite guy in probably the entire company right now. But I'm totally fine with Ibushi getting this win, as I'd imagine Ibushi will probably be in the finals of this tournament, if not win the entire thing. I consider him probably like the favorite, or one of the top two or three favorites in this whole tournament. Tagachi defeating Ospreay, I'm not huge on. I don't dislike Tagachi. I'm just really, really high on Ospreay. And then we had Jay White defeating Okada, which, once again, I'm okay with. Like, Okada is the best IWGP heavyweight champion in history, which is saying a lot because there's been so many incredible champions. But Jay White is their boy. You know, he's kind of like the top gaijin guy over there in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it's not surprising to see him get these kind of victories. I'm okay with it. He's defeated Okada for the title before, I believe, as well. I can't remember the whole lineage there when White won the title, but it was around that same time. And Jay White, he might have been Tanahashi, I can't remember, but Jay White, super talented guy. I'm fine with him beating Okada, but like if it was up to me, I'd have Okada win. But it's not worth complaining about by any stretch of the imagination. More results we had the next night. This was Block B in a non-tournament match. Yamura defeated Gabriel Kidd, and then the rest of these are tournament matches. We had Tetsuya Naito defeating Hiroki Goto, Yano defeated Evil, Tanahashi defeated Juice Robinson, Kenta defeated Zack Sabre Jr., and Yoshihashi defeated Sonata. So there's a couple confusing ones for me here. I'm totally fine with Naito over Goto. I think that should happen every time, 10 out of 10 times. I like Goto, but he's more of a gatekeeper. Naito is your heavyweight and intercontinental champion, and Naito definitely should win there. Yano defeating Evil. So I am not a fan of Yano, but I am not a fan of Evil either. So it's like, I'm kind of okay with Yano getting this win, but I don't know what the hell they were thinking, putting those two titles on Evil recently just to take them off of him, and now he's taking L's to Yano. Although I understand, Yano's been getting big victories. He beat, I believe it was Tanahashi and the last set of results that I read out here. So, like, I mean, Yano is making a strong run here in this tournament, and I'm okay with that storyline-wise, but they better not go to a scenario where Yano, like, seriously becomes a contender with all this, because, I mean, he's fine for what he is, but he's a comedy wrestler, and Evil was just your champion, so it's kind of strange. Tanahashi over Juice, I'm totally fine with that. I'm a much bigger fan, personally, of Tanahashi than Juice Robinson, so no problem there. Kenta over Zack Sabre Jr., no problem there either. You know, I love both of these guys. This would have been a 50-50 toss-up. I could have taken a coin, literally flipped it, and I would have been fine with either result there. Big fan of both. I'm not a fan of Yoshihashi going over Sonata. I think Sonata has been somewhat buried, especially with Evil, his former partner, being the one to, like, really get the spotlight with the titles and all. Sonata seems like he's still in the same position he's been in seemingly forever. And Yoshihashi, he's never going to be your world champion. Like, he just never is. Sonata has potential to potentially be that IWGP heavyweight champion at some point. Yoshihashi, I don't ever see that happening for him. So I'm not a big fan of Yoshihashi going over Sonata there. Moving on, we have the day 7 results. This is back over on the A block. We had Tomohiro Ishii defeating Tagachi. Love that. Will Ospreay defeated Jay White. Really great match. Love the result there. And that also makes up for Ospreay losing in the last round. So, love everything there. Okada defeated Chaichi. I totally would expect that to happen. Ibushi over Jeff Cobb. I expect that too. Really good stuff, though. Really great clash of styles there between Ibushi's high-flying and Jeff Cobb's, like, pure wrestling and power moves and stuff that he does. So, great matchup there, and I love Ibushi getting the win. And Suzuki over Yujiro Takahashi, another one that I would all day I'm going with that result. I'm not a fan of Yujiro Takahashi. Like, it's nothing personal, it's just he does nothing for me. And Suzuki's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, especially if you're looking at somebody who's a wrestler and a fighter, and, like, him, you know, he, like, founded Pancrase and all that stuff. I mean, he's just such a legend. And the fact that he's still doing everything on this level is so impressive to me. And then the next night, we have some more Block B results. This was night 8. We had Sonata defeating Naito. See, this is where it gets confusing, right? Because it's like Naito is your double champ, which I'm okay with Naito taking some losses throughout this tournament. It's fine. That's kind of how the tournament's designed. But Sonata loses to Yoshihashi, then beats Naito. It's just weird. Evil defeated Kenta. Another weird one. Evil loses to Yano, then beats Kenta after Kenta had just beaten Zack Sabre Jr. It's just confusing. Tanahashi defeated Yoshihashi. Totally fine with that. All day. That should be 10 out of 10. Yoshihashi should never defeat Tanahashi, in my opinion, in any match. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Goto. Love that. Once again, Goto is more of a gatekeeper, but really, really solid for what he does. And Zack Sabre Jr., I think they can really build around. Like, if he's going to stay in New Japan long term, they could really build around Zack Sabre Jr. And then Juice Robinson defeats Toru Yano, which I like that. Like, I'm not a huge Juice Robinson fan, but I do like him much more than Yano. So, those are just my personal opinions on all that. I know there's people who are going to listen to this that are going to disagree, that, you know, are big fans of Juice or big fans of Yano or Yoshihashi, and that's fine. Yujiro Takahashi, like, that's totally fine. I'm just giving you my personal opinion here, and at the very least, I'm getting the results in case you missed this and can't watch these shows for whatever reason. More good stuff from New Japan. I still think that Ibushi will probably win the whole thing, but, like, I mean, there's a lot of really good people that it could be. Like, I think Kenta would be a great swerve. I think that Jay White is always a possibility. Okada and Tanahashi are both always possibilities. I mean, there's just so many ways I can go with this, and I'm here for it. Moving on, we had the NXT UK results. This included the beginning of the Heritage Cup tournament. NXT UK officially came back last week, and I got you the results for that show here on the Weekender. On today's most recent results, we have the show starting off with Kenny Williams defeating Ashton Smith and Amir Jordan by pinfall. That win got him a spot in the Heritage Cup, so big win for Kenny Williams over Ashton Smith and Amir Jordan. The finish came via Tornado DDT into a jackknife cover, so really smooth, slick stuff there. We had Ginny defeating Xia Brookside, got the win with a straight armbar and like kind of like transition into a like an armbar slash chin bar for the tap out win. So Ginny over Xia Brookside. And then we had the first match of the first round of the Heritage Cup tournament, I guess you should say. It was Noam Dar taking on Alexander Wolf. The special referee was Pete Dunne. This went all five rounds, and the third fall in the match came when Noam Dar hit the Nova Roller for the pin in the 1-2-3 over Alexander Wolf. So Dar gets the win, advances in the tournament, and after the match, Pete Dunne wound up basically getting into a scuffle with Alexander Wolf, and that prompted Wolf's Imperium teammate Walter to come out, and that then prompted Dragunov to come out to help Pete Dunne. So it looks like they're still obviously building towards Dragunov versus Walter for the belt, but Pete Dunne's still in that mix, and it looks like he's getting more involved with Alexander Wolf. So there's a lot of good stuff storyline-wise going on for NXT UK, and they're just in rebuilding phase. Like, they're just trying to, they're basically just in a point right now where it's like, you know, they just came back, they're doing what they can, and they are at least getting some buzz about them from the Heritage Cup tournament. But it's going to take a minute for them to, I think, regain a lot of the momentum. Now, a lot of the momentum wasn't there because, like, a lot of people just weren't watching the show before they took their hiatus. But this is an opportunity for them to get more eyes on the product. And, yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, they have really good wrestlers. It's just a matter of, like, getting people to care. And that's kind of what I do here on The Weekender. I hope that by me giving you the results of these shows, even if you don't watch, you at least care a little bit. So NXT UK, I think they're doing it all, doing all good stuff for the time being. So there you go. Moving on, we have more UWN Primetime Live results. The reason I keep going over these each week is because they've been featuring NWA talent. And since there hasn't been any new episodes of NWA Power lately, this is the best way that I can get you some information about what's going on with National Wrestling Alliance wrestlers. And by the way, I read something recently that was really interesting about how James Storm, who is contracted to the National Wrestling Alliance, how before all the pandemic stuff happened, the NWA had actually granted James Storm a release, or were going to release him, one of the two, so that he could debut on the Raw after WrestleMania this year. So it seems like James Storm was heading back to the WWE. He was there for a very short time in NXT a few years ago. He had like two appearances, and then wound up ultimately re-signing with Impact Wrestling because they offered him significantly more money, from what I understand. And that's kind of wild. Like, I mean, that's great on the NWA that they were willing to let someone out of their contract so that they could pursue like their bigger dreams and goals and stuff, which I think is great. And it's also been interesting because guys like Ricky Starks and Thunder Rosa and some others, you know, Thunder Rosa is still currently the NWA Women's Champion, but Ricky Starks was with the company and then is now a part of Impact, or sorry, now a part of AEW and stuff, and Thunder Rosa has been doing the crossover between both. So very interesting times for the National Wrestling Alliance. And then of course they're linked here with UWN Primetime Live. These are the results for the show that happened on the 29th. We had the United Wrestling Network's tag team titles on the line. SoCal Distracting, the champions, retained over the Real Money Brothers. We had Greek God Papadon defeating Remy Marcel. Chris Dickinson defeated Anthony Idol. I love seeing Chris Dickinson as a part of these shows, by the way, because he's one of those guys that's like right there on the brink. Like, any day now, we're going to be seeing him in like Impact Wrestling and NXT or AEW. Like, he's right there. So it's good to see Dickinson involved with this here. Allison Kay defeated Nicole Savoy. Ruby Reyes defeated CeCe Chanel. Robert Baines defeated Jack Cartwright. And in the main event, the NWA National Championship was on the line. Trevor Murdoch defeated Aaron Stevens to win the championship. So the new NWA National Champion is Trevor Murdoch. And I'll say this, I would much rather have Trevor Murdoch as that champion than Aaron Stevens. As a human being, I think Aaron Stevens is probably a great guy. As a pro wrestler, he does nothing for me. I know that might sound a little brutal, but like, I've never been a fan, outside of the Damian Mizdow stuff he did, which is very niche, however you say that. He has done nothing for me. His whole like karate gimmick and all like the really flamboyant stuff he'd done before that, and like all, it just, I give him kudos for trying new things, but it's like a comedian whose jokes never land to me. It's just like, you keep throwing stuff against the wall, but like nothing's sticking for me. And Trevor Murdoch is a legitimate like throwback. I feel like he's a guy who probably never got the opportunity he really deserved in WWE. I think he was better than what they kind of used him for. And he kind of disappeared off the face of the earth to a degree for a long time. And to see him resurface in the NWA and now the NWA National Champion, I think it's great and I think it makes sense. And I think he's the right guy for that belt right now. So all good stuff. Moving on, I have some results for Being the Elite. This title, or results, a recap for Being the Elite, latest episode titled Sour Patch Kids. Now, I'm going to say this right off the bat. I think Being the Elite needs to make a few changes. I think one of them needs to be to make these shows shorter. The length varies all the time, but it's one of those things where, like, sometimes they're like 13 minutes, sometimes they're like a half hour, sometimes they're longer than that. This one was about a half hour long, and I don't think they should be doing these for the sake of making them that length, because there's a lot of stuff that seems like filler at this point. There's a lot of things that, and once again, talking about jokes that aren't landing, that's happening with a lot of the Being the Elite stuff with me right now, and that's not good, because I love Being the Elite, and I've been watching it since the beginning, and there are signs of this show kind of jumping the shark in a lot of ways, but there are still some good things, so I'm going to just go over some of the highlights. Show opens up with Matt and Nick Jackson. They're at another Walmart, and it's just sad at this point. Like, they keep talking about how every time they get to a Walmart and they're looking for their figures, how they keep finding, they go to the pegs and they're sold out. These figures are not sold out. I promise you, Matt and Nick, if you ever happen to hear this, the Walmarts you're going to have never had your figures. So if they just haven't gotten them. Walmart and AEW and Jazzwares and whatever, like all the people, whoever's involved, have all dropped the ball here. I promise you. I've talked about this on a previous episode, so I'm not going to deep dive into it. But yeah, it's getting really annoying, to be honest. Like, because I'm someone who collects these figures and I have them all, but like they've never showed up in my Walmart. I've gone up there many times. I've talked to them many times. And a lot of these Walmarts just are not getting this stuff. So anyway, that's how the episode of Being the Elite started off this week, was Matt and Nick Jackson once again not finding their action figures in a Walmart. After that, we get some Dark Order stuff. Evil Uno basically tells Five to cut his hair because he keeps finding his hair in his underwear, which is pretty funny. And we get more Dark Order stuff with basically Stu Grayson trying to kill John Silver, and Anna Jay comes in and drags Grayson off by his ear like she has been doing for the last few weeks. After that, we get another Speaking Spanglish segment. This is another one of those jumping the shark moments I was just talking about. I've never been a fan of these Speaking Spanglish segments. I thought they were all really, really corny, goofy, not funny, big waste of time. And this one was probably the biggest waste of time of all. Thunder Rosa basically revealed Dasha as Marco Stunt in front of Ortiz and Santana. I'm not going to go into all of this. Just not funny, not good. I'll just put it that way. And I'm a big Marco Stunt fan and everything, and I just not good. Jumping the shark, we'll just put it that way. Cutler is talking to Matt Hardy, and Hardy basically offers to help Matt Nick Jackson if he's able to. It's weird seeing Matt Hardy being so normal, but I think that is clearly like the story they're going with. That's what it's meant to come across as. Cutler's also talking to Hardy about like his fall at All Out, and Hardy is just talking about how that fall changed him, and he feels more complete than ever now, which I think was really interesting. So that just kind of adds on to what I just said. Christopher Daniels cuts a promo about how he feels like he doesn't have it anymore, and he feels like his whole year has been really bad. I mean, everyone's year has been bad, but his wrestling year has been really bad. He's trying not to cry while he's talking. He basically says he's not as good as he used to be, but he's not done yet either. So I like this a lot too, because Christopher Daniels has been kind of stale to me, and I think he's kind of, I hate to say this because of how talented he is, but I think he's kind of holding back SCU at this point. Like, I think Kazarian would be better off as a singles wrestler, and I think Scorpio Sky definitely would be better off as a singles wrestler, as we've seen lately. So I'm not like blaming this on Christopher Daniels, but it's like SCU just overall seems stale, and I feel like everyone needs something new to do. And I feel like Christopher Daniels is the most stale of those three, if that makes sense. After that, we get another Dark Order segment where they're all singing Cody's entrance song, which I thought was really funny. Brody Lee comes in, asks where Reynolds is at. He said Silver tells him that he was at his dad's bris, which is like so random. And then Brody starts flashing the group once he mentions the bris. He wants so it's just really funny. Reynolds says that he was at fencing camp to cover up for the bris thing, and Brody Lee winds up flashing Reynolds, and Anna Jay attacks Stu Grayson again. So a lot of stuff going on with Dark Order, but this is all stuff that I think is good and funny. These are not jumping the shark moments. These are actually really funny segments, and I love Brody Lee's comedy. I love Silver's comedy. I love the Dark Order and what they're doing. This is all really good stuff, in my opinion. I think this is funny. We then get a Public Swole announcement, basically her talking about how slow drivers shouldn't use the fast lane. This is another one of those segments, similar to Spanglish. Got no time for it, don't think it's funny. Just don't understand why they keep putting it on there. Eddie Kingston cuts a great promo on Sour Patch Kids. Eddie Kingston is just the man on the microphone. We're all in agreement about that at this point. And the more they can give us Eddie Kingston, the better. So I'm good with this, and I'm good with him being a major part of Dynamite each week. We then see Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. They're trying to kill Cutler this week by putting him into a microwave. And Silver winds up actually trying to recruit them into the Dark Order. And they say, well, we'll join the Dark Order if you help us kill Cutler. Basically, Silver just attacks them. Just attacks Cutler. And basically, Best Friends are saying, like, you didn't make it cute, and there was no, like, sexual references and all this stuff. And they say they wind up helping Brandon Cutler out and basically tell him, like, we'll kill you in a cooler way later. And they ditch Silver, and they are not going to join the Dark Order. So that's it for Being the Elite this week. And let me give you some really quick predictions for NXT TakeOver since it's tonight, and then we'll get on out of here. So tonight, and by the way, I have a full prediction show that I did with Jessie Davin on her YouTube channel, which we just hit over 10,000 subscribers on, so thank you very much to anyone who listens and watches over there. But if you want a full detailed breakdown of all of my predictions for NXT TakeOver 30, check out Jessie Davin's YouTube channel, and I'll have links up as well very shortly, today before the show, hopefully. That include audio links if you want to watch or listen to it without having to watch through YouTube. But as far as some quick predictions I've got, I'm going to say Swerve defeats Escobar for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Kushida defeats Velveteen Dream. Damian Priest retains the North American title over Johnny Gargano. Io Shirai retains the NXT Women's Championship over Candice LeRae. And I'm going to go... See, smart money would say Finn Balor over Kyle O'Reilly, but there's no money on the line for me. I'm a giant Kyle O'Reilly mark. I've been calling for this opportunity for years for him, so I'm sticking to my guns. I'm going to say Kyle O'Reilly becomes the new NXT heavyweight champion, and that plans the seeds for a lot of stuff between him and the rest of the Undisputed Era, him and Adam Cole, all that good stuff. So that all being said, that's it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_. That's @FightTalk_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.